Nate Stu, and Supodity is presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Be sure to check out the Thursday, July 30th episode of ESPN Daily with Pablo Torre, in which his guest is Dr. Anthony Fauci. Also, the NBA restart is upon us, and you should all be listening to Brian Windhorst and the Hoop Collective twice a week. Windy and his Twice a week, Windy and his cohorts give you insight and analysis on the NBA that's second to none. That means no one does it better. You can find Brian Windhorst and the Hoop Collective wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupodity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gatz, a man I consider a personal hero and icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gatz providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gatz's influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupodity.
All right, welcome into another episode of Stupodity, the biggest podcast in the world, bigger than Nice White Parents. How about that? That is the new bar. I mean, we've been bigger than Oprah, bigger than Joe Rogan. I forget who we were bigger than last week, Stanzik. You don't remember. There's no way.
Mystery in Alaska, maybe. Something like that.
Get them on. It doesn't matter. Yeah. You are knee deep in a money pit, and they call a brand new house of marriage. And so I'm going to leave you alone. But we are bigger than Nice White Parents. How about that? I don't know who they are, but get those Nice White Parents on.
It could be you and Abby.
It's not us. Who is it? Is it your in-laws?
Maybe.
You better say yes to that, Sam. At least for the first year.
Yes.
What is Nice White Parents? Do you have any idea?
Let's take a look. Something New York Times related looks like. Something about public schools. Right. Five-part series.
Get them on.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. Just get them on. The larger point is they were the biggest, and now we are. Okay, so Nice White Parents. Sorry. We are bigger. Please subscribe.
And nicer.
100%. Yeah. Good quality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Subscribe, rate, and review. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. We appreciate your support. We are going to get back to multiple episodes per week. I promise you. I have been in a summer malaise here, but I am ready to go, and I'm stuck at home here for a couple of weeks, which Stancy's very happy about. With that being said, Adnan Burke, oh, am I excited. He is this week's guest on Stupodity. He's an old friend, still a friend, but an old friend who used to work here at ESPN. No one, and I mean no one, would be thriving in today's ESPN more so than Adnan Burke, where people are being asked to do a million things, most of which they're not being paid for. Just like me doing this podcast. Am I wrong, Stanley?
You're not wrong. I mean, he's like the, what's the term, jackknife?
Swiss Army knife.
Swiss Army knife. That's jack, it. Jack knife. Of all trades is jack, what I was going for.
You're a jack knife. Off. Take that out. Leave it in.
Keep it in. Whatever.
Yeah. So anyway, he would be the ultimate Swiss Army knife.
That's right. The term. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Because he's good at so many things. He could host pot. In fact, we're going to do this with him where I'm going to throw it to him. Say, Adnan, you're hosting the 11 o'clock Sports Center. Go. Adnan, you're doing the morning show. You are filling in for who'd we have on last week?
Zubin Mehenti.
Zubin Mehenti. You're filling in for Mehenti. Go. God, that was so bad, but keep it in. Adnan, you are hosting baseball tonight. Go. Adnan could do all these things and do them as well as anyone. And unfortunately, he's no longer with us because he's at the zone doing what?
I think a lot of baseball. He was doing some boxing.
Really? DAZN baseball?
Yeah. He was doing like a baseball show every night.
Well, let me tell you, they're not going to have baseball much longer.
The Marlins, whoa.
Whoa. And listen, Adam Silver doesn't need any help making himself look smarter than he already is, but Rob Manfred is really helping him out. I mean, Jesus Christ. His mere existence is making Silver look like the Albert Einstein of sports commissioners. It's unbelievable. Whoa. So, we are going to bring on Adnan. I'm excited for this. I miss Adnan. We're going to do a little segment called Movies, Baseball, and Canada with him, which is a segment that we used to do. We have to discuss Team Federer with him because me and Mike Golo Jr. used to make fun of his obsession, not only with Roger Federer, but with a team of people in our industry who also follow Federer the same way that Adnan does, which was a bit creepy. I got to be honest with you.
You still do. This isn't like something that you stop doing. You and Gojo make the jokes during weekend observations. I get the jokes. I can't believe anybody else does.
They do. I mean, only five of them. Yeah. And none of them are. It's only you. Mikey C has no idea what we're talking about. Right. If it's not about Mikey C, he has no idea. Mikey A seems confused whenever we go there.
Mm-hmm.
Stosh would understand it, but people don't even know who Stosh is. So it's like,
we should probably tell the audience why we're having Adnan on, too.
Well, why don't you go ahead and do that?
Well,
why are we having him on?
Well, because you and Adnan share a birthday.
We do?
July 29th.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's
how old are you turning?
Do I have to say?
I don't think you have to say, but earlier this week, we should tell the audience that you told me your birthday was Thursday, and I said, isn't your birthday Wednesday? And you said, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was typing fast, perhaps moving in a vehicle.
Oh, jeez.
I know. I should admit that. Take that out. Keep it in. How old do you think I'm turning, Stanzik?
I think it's 48. Do I have that right?
Unfortunately, you do.
Yeah. I think Adnan's 42.
Oh, God, what I would give for those 6 years back.
We'll have to ask him when he comes on. I'm pretty sure
he's 42. What I would give to be in my early 40s and have some testosterone, some energy levels back. Oh, my God. I want to do athletes that connote testosterone.
It's a tough one.
Joe Tess. I started and ended the game.
That's it.
There is nowhere else to go. Uranus.
That show's good, by the way.
Six people will get that joke. Yeah. Uranus. That show is not good. It's great. It's really good.
It's funny. I mean, I could care less about the actual putt-putt, but him and Riggler just that's like a comedy duo?
Yeah, you're talking about Holy Moly ABC, which Joe Tess hosts along with Rob Riggle. Joe Tess was on the podcast. I love Joe Tess. In fact, he wants to come back on. He's been asking me to come back on, just so you know, Joe Tess. So we have to make that happen. He enjoyed his time here so much that he'd like to come back on. And we weren't really finished with Joe Tess, if you recall, you know?
Oh, we got plenty for Joe Tess.
Yeah, we have plenty. So we'll have to get Joe Tess on. What are we doing with Adnan? Why is he late? The zone is working him like a dog? I mean, jeez.
Let me call him right now.
Stupidity!
Adnan, I miss you so much, I can't even explain to you.
Thanks. And we're already rolling. Everyone needs a warning. Sometimes we're like 4 minutes in and people are like, have we started yet? And you're like, yeah. They're like, can we take that part out?
We have been rolling for a while, in large part because Stanzik sent me this little microphone that I could hold in my hands, and I let you just walk around and pretend I'm performing for an audience that I'm not performing for.
No, so
it's a weird thing that I did. Yeah.
And you sound like you have a bit of a cold, Stu. Is it just because it's early morning, or? Your voice is a little deeper than that. Maybe I just haven't heard you in a while.
I have COVID.
The Marlins are knocked out, so is the guys. It's still. That's interesting. This is what I wonder. Because at what point are COVID jokes allowable? Like, I wonder, like, for comedians.
Not right yet.
Not yet. Pretty. People are still dying. Not allowed yet.
Especially where I live. Like, I swam in a pool of COVID yesterday. That's why I sound like this. By the way, no, I'm in a very warm place and the allergies are kicking in right now. I'm fine. I've been tested 100,000 times.
Did you do the test for the nasal test? It sounds obnoxious.
Yeah, the nasal swab. I've gotten it like 4 times. It's the worst. It's like they stick it up in your brain. You know what? Listen, you know movies. You know what Total Recall?
Interspace. Okay, Total Recall. Yeah. You're right. It's Total Recall. Arnold Schwarzenegger's like, yeah.
And they take that little chip out.
Total Recall never failed to make me laugh at the age of 12 when they're asking what he wants in a woman and the choices are like flirtatious, sweet, or sleazy. He's like, sleazy.
Doesn't she have three boobs too?
That was the best one. The best line of the entire movie is when the guy goes, baby, you make me wish I had 3 hands. Should have been an Oscar winner for that line alone.
It should, you're right. Just for that line, best line in a movie.
Oh, the guys sitting there like, "What if we had a chick with 3 tits? Is that possible?" Okay, let's do that.
That's the future.
Yeah, that's what you're looking for. Yeah.
Wait, are we? Is it too early for COVID jokes? We cannot make. It is. We can't. Yes. Why? Because it's surging.
Yes.
Yeah, but I feel like a couple of weeks ago we could make COVID jokes when we thought it was going away. You know. Right.
All comedians, Stu, have always done what? They have made jokes on the precipice between what is right, what is wrong. So over the years now, and I'm not going to get into the PC culture, but like before, whatever was a sensitive topic, comedians are like, all right, I'm taking a bullseye to that. I wonder, like comedians right now, they're like, can I make this joke yet? Not yet. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, at what point can we do this? I don't know. But listen, Larry David had the best line in the New York Times because I've been trying to socially distance for years, right? Like this is a great, listen, I don't care for weddings. Right. I mean, I'm really not that sociable. People think, oh, you're a pretty sociable guy. I'm like, why would you think that? I have a podcast called Cinephile. Like nothing makes me happier than sitting in a darkened theater, not talking to anybody. So why the hell would I want to go talk to people? I'm like, yeah, like, this is great. Wife and kids, it's all we need. See, cable's working, great. Yes. Sports back would be nice, but I watched a bunch of. I am such a nerd. I rewatched the '92 NLCS Game 7, Braves, which is of course we all know Sid Bream game, and my man Sean McDonough on the call was tremendous. I tweeted it. I miss Sean McDonough calling baseball. And Francisco Cabrera ropes one foul, and then Andy Vince like told Barry Bonds, "Hey, play shallow and play in." You know what Barry Bonds did? He gave Andy Vince like the finger. And on the next pitch, Cabrera rips it. Bonds is playing to shell. Sid Bream, 5 knee operations.
I love
freaking
it.
Freaking giraffe, rounding third, save. Like, yeah. It has 2 great calls. McDonough's voice cracks. It's a great call. And Skip Carey's call is immortalized. Braves win! Braves win! Braves win! Braves win! Braves win!
Why didn't we start talking about the 92 NLCS?
Because we're not in it. I knew you were going to tee me up, so I'm putting it in.
Whenever they and I get together, who knows where the hell the conversation is going to go.
Let's talk Andrew Brandt. He tweeted a picture of himself.
Hold on. Before you
shirtless.
Before you get to Team Fed and Andrew Brandt, okay, because we got plenty there,
right.
Can you give me some other funny names from that series? Like that was the Mark Lemke series, right?
Mark Lemke, yeah. I mean, well, listen.
Mark Wohlers.
Stan Belinda.
Wohlers.
Stan Belinda. How about this? John McSherry was the home plate umpire, had to leave because of dizzy spells, which was unfortunately a foretelling of what would happen. And later he passed away due to a heart attack. Randy Marsh became the home plate umpire. Jim Leland, to this day swears Damon Berryhill struck out at least 3 times because Stan Belinda comes in the game, 3-1 count, like nope, strike it, nope, walk. And Ron, I told this to Ron Darling. Ron Darling gives the nickname for Randy Marsh was Tin Cup. That was his strike zone. This is not a Kevin Costner reference, like Tin Cup. And because he was a great guy, though. He was like, oh, Randy, you're screwing me. He's like, no, come on, buddy. That wasn't a strike. So Stan Belinda, Doug Drabeck was unbelievable. 8 innings. Doug Drabeck was
unbelievable. Young, I'm pretty sure.
Dude, 8 innings of scoreless ball. Sucked. And then he gets taken. He's thinking like 132 pitches. His arm's going to fall off. Like, all right, Stan Belinda. And the Braves scored 3 in the bottom of that. It was incredible, dude. It's a great. McDonough called me after, and he goes, it's like – one of the greatest baseball games ever played. I'm like, I agree. Start to finish.
It really was.
And then afterwards, Deion Sanders started dumping water on McGarver.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. That's right.
After the game, McDonough goes, I thought I blew the call. My voice cracked. I'm like, oh, I suck. I'm 30 years old. My life's over. Meantime, McGarver goes down. Deion starts dunking him repeatedly. He goes, the producer that we had ended up being fired after the game.
Oh, my God.
It was a disaster.
Really?
Yeah.
So he thought, that's interesting to me. He thought that he. Yeah.
Sean was like, the call. Oh,
he thought he delivered a bad call. I didn't think that to be a great call.
But it's perfect. Cabrera shot to left. Here comes the runner third. Play at the plate. He is. Save! Save! The Braves are going to the World Series. And Skip Carey goes, they're going to have to hospitalize Sid Bream because there's like 10 guys. It's so good. Yeah.
But that, listen, that's what makes baseball great is the fact that you can have a Francisco Cabrera have a moment like that and you never hear from him again. That's it. Well, you'll remember that name for the remainder of your life, you know?
Oh, my God. Well, it's funny. Bob Costas put it best because the best part about baseball is that nothing's happening and then everything happens. Right? You think, oh, that's kind of another pitch, 1-2 pitch, right? Fouled off. And also, like, oh my God, the world just changed because of that.
All right. Add Dan Burke with us. He hosts two podcasts, also works for DAZN and the two podcasts, Cinephile, one of which Stanzik used to produce, his movie podcast, and the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi. And Add Dan, an old friend, we miss him dearly at ESPN. Stanzik and I were saying earlier, that in today's ESPN, no one would shine more than Adnan Burke. where everyone is being asked to do a million different things, only being paid for two of them. And I am telling you, there was no one more versatile than you. If you host SportsCenter, you did it. Fill in for Mike and Mike, you did it seamlessly. Come play a little role in the Levitard show with Sagatz. Exceptional. Baseball Tonight was the hardest thing to do at ESPN. Boog Shamba used to tell us no one did it better in the history of ESPN.
No, that's not true. But
no, but that's what Boog used to say.
Boog's been hit in the head a few times, but I appreciate it. Like, keep the flattery continuing, please.
I mean, Adnan Burke, you want to call? In fact, I might ask you to do a few things right now. I think it's more personal. I'm serious. Like, if I say, hey, go into SportsCenter Adnan Burke, can you do it right now? It's like riding a bike, right?
Yeah, it's true, actually. It's funny. I don't really miss it. What I miss is doing your show. And proof of the power of you and the Levitard show. I worked at ESPN for 9 years. Again, as you went through the things I did, SportsCenter, Baseball Tonight, college football, college basketball, Outside the Lines, the number one thing I get asked about that is tweeted at me is, man, I love when you call the Levitard show. I go, so let me just get this straight. I did hours and hours of television. I did a 15-hour shift every college football Saturday. And what you miss is when I talk for 8 seconds about Dances with Wolves and I would be cut off on the phone line. That's what my legacy is.
Career highlight.
Yeah, they go, that was awesome. They'd cut you off and you'd keep talking. It was so good. I go, thanks. I really appreciate it. I really felt like I left my mark.
It's the weird power of that show. Like Mina Kimes has often complained about that, where it's like, I've done a million important things already for ESPN, and the only thing anyone remembers is me going down some roller coaster in a mall at Super Bowl week and screaming at the top of my lungs. And I said, listen, that's what comes with the territory. It's like me and Poppy. Yeah. Dan gets infuriated. He'll do 25 minutes, great TV, highly questionable. And the only thing anyone will remember is either Poppy faking a handshake or me on the rooftop of the Clevelander saying more Stugatz, spelling more M-O-A-R. I'm holding a sign up that says more Stugatz. And Dan's infuriated because he just gave you 20 minutes on race relations in the United States. I mean,
but it was for Super Bowl weekend. I was there for DAZN just grabbing like literally NFL streeters, like man on the street stuff, wacky people. I said, we got to go to the Clevelander. And how good a guy is Chris? Chris saw me. Literally, bright yellow mic, pink shirt. Oh, it's Adnan. I know it's him. Ran downstairs. We said hi. We kibitzed for a minute. I think he – I don't know. No, you weren't there. He's like, Stu's not there. He's like, I'll go see him.
No, I was at Radio Row.
Yeah, yeah. And I think he said Dan might be up there, but he's miserable. And I said, it's okay. I don't want to make him more miserable right now. Schmoozing with clients on out. Burke's here. Oh, jeez. I have to lie to him. We miss you. I don't care.
It's not even the schmoozing of clients. For some weekend, the biggest week in our sports makes Dan. The biggest week we have in the sports calendar makes a sports radio host the most miserable I've ever seen him.
Well,
I
don't, crazy.
Well, I think it's because we're all doing the same thing and bringing on the same guests, and you know how much Dan hates.
But this is one of your best qualities is your work ethic. Like, nobody knows how hard you work. You're literally, right now you're in a hotel and a day's in. Yeah. You, again, family man, daughters, lacrosse, we're going to do this, but you're like, you'll knock out pocket. You will never say no to anything. I don't think you ever have. I don't think it's anything at ESPN. I think it's before ESPN. Like Kirchhoff one time said to me, because I don't understand it, is Stugatz a smart guy or is he just an idiot?
I'd be interested. How do you answer that?
Yeah, and I said, well, if somebody was an idiot, you can see through it pretty quickly. It's quite transparent. But it takes a smart man to be able to play the fool well. And he was like, okay. And I go, dude, he used to run the station. Like he's right. He was an executive at one point.
The way you described me, it's not, but it feels like a compliment.
Backhanded.
You called me, absolutely. Yeah. But I said, listen, But seriously, the work ethic, though, that's never left you, right? And it's interesting. Whenever I talk to people trying to get in the business, they go, what's the key? McDonough, back to Shark Tank, he goes, listen, let's be honest. He goes, 90% either you have it or you don't, right? He goes, if a guy's at 30%, you go, but he works hard, you go, probably not going to work. Like 90%, it's going to be there. When you meet the guy, you go, yeah, I think he's got the voice, look, whatever. But the other 10% is what makes or breaks you. And you can only get in your own way. If you screw up along the way, that's on you. If you let money impact you, whatever, socialization, life, et cetera. But a guy like you, head down, work hard, do what's told, be creative. You'll always have a job.
Yeah, and try to remain egoless, because I think a lot of this stuff is just fun and games. But here's the thing I learned early on, Dan. You can't say no. Like, I think the first time I told Stanzik no was yesterday, because I was driving when he asked me to do this. And I apologize that I couldn't do it yesterday.
All good.
And I wasn't going to be able to make it here in time. Here's the deal with our industry, and you know this. You say no, there's a million guys or women, men or women, lined up behind you who are willing to say yes. And they'll say yes to anything at any time on any day. Therefore, I just keep saying yes until I no longer want to do this, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think there's ever a point you can not do that.
Right.
I mean, there's a handful of people. Maybe Levitar can do it. Maybe Van Pelt, Stephen A. But those guys still say yes all the time. Stephen A's up 24/7.
Yeah, I mean, Levitar too. I got to be honest with you. Dan rarely says no to doing any of this stuff. And listen, at the core, we all enjoy doing this.
Correct.
Right?
But let me ask you this, because this is how I generally feel about things. I'm reluctant to do any work. Generally speaking, I swear to God, Stanzik texts me and I'm like, what is this? I'm like, I have to do something. How long do you need? 20 minutes? I'm like, but once I'm doing it, I can do it for an hour. Aren't you guys like the two? Like, given the choice, people go, you love to work? I'm like, no, given the choice, I'd rather not work. Let's make this clear. Yeah. I'll just watch Lawrence of Arabia and call it a day. Yeah. But if you need me to work, once I do it, I'm thrilled to do it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. Yes. Once I get connected, hooked up, all I get through all the stress, yes. Then once we're talking,
if Dan called you, goes, Stu, you know what? Just take the week. We think you've earned it. You go, okay. I mean, are you sure?
Really? I'm so insecure. I'm like, is Levitar trying to tell me something? Like, what's going on? Yeah.
That's true. The insecurity and the neurotic behavior would then ramp up a little bit.
You know what it is? It's the on and off switch are very easy to press for you guys. It's like, all right, the microphone's on. You're on, or if it's like, hey, you're done, you're off, you're done.
Yeah, but Adnan's right. You either have it or you don't. Like, you have this personality trait, personality quality. You could talk, right? You have confidence in yourself for the most part, although Dan will maintain the sports media is the most insecure bunch of people on the planet, and I'm not certain that he's wrong. But you have to, the willingness to work hard, having the personality, having the voice, and all that stuff. I think Sean McDonough, if that's the person you said who said it, is right. 70% is you either have it or you don't. And from there, it's working on what your strengths are, trying to correct your weaknesses, and then just never saying no because some younger idiot is willing to say yes.
But I find it fascinating with your career path, fascinating, the way you said you grew up adoring Mad Dog Russo.
Yeah.
And then you realize once you got great is when you stopped trying to be Mad Dog Russo.
Okay, I started mocking him.
Right. Yeah. I said, that's brilliant to me. Because I adored Oberman. I said, God, I'd love to be Oberman. And then at one point you go, who the hell's going to be Keith Oberman? Like, he's literally a genius. He's on a different level. Right. But if I can, I just realized, I can't be him, but just be me, whatever that is. But you were even smarter. You said, okay, I admire this guy. Rather than be him, I'm going to mock him. I'm going to turn it inside out. And this is what a good guy Russo is. The other guy can't laugh at himself, can't take a joke, sanctimonious. Russo is the first guy. If you do the impression of his face, he's laughing his head off. Yeah. Letterman would call him Daffy Duck and insult him. And Russo's like, fine, no problem. Because he knows it's coming from a good place. It's genuine affection. You wouldn't be able to do an impression unless you've listened to him 100 times and know his rants and know his cadences and all that kind of stuff.
Well, let's hear.
Good afternoon, everybody. How are you today?
To start his show. Do you remember that still?
Oh, my God. And I couldn't stop not doing it.
And then here's the funny thing about this, because we had Russo recently on the podcast. So I did that reluctantly. Like, the career path for me in the turn was when I realized, hey, I'm not going to be Chris Russo. He's one in a million. It's like Olbermann. He's one in a million. Yeah. And you just said, hey, let me get close. I said, let me go the entire opposite way and just start mocking the whole thing that is sports radio, like over the top Christopher Mandel, which is very hard to do. And I thought it would affect my relationship with Russo. We had him on the podcast. A, he loves the impersonation. B, B, he agreed to a home and home. I co-host with him, and he co-hosts with me in Miami. Yes. He doesn't give a shit, is my point.
Right. I mean, I think it's all about knowing where you're coming from. Like, if you were mocking on, hey, like, I think you're terrible at your job, he'd be like, okay, where's this guy coming from? But because it's genuine affection and fondness, he's great about it. And I think, by the way, he's still great. Rasilo's pod with Cowherd was excellent. And he said, and Rasilo said to Cowherd, who is the guy that, like, you listen to? Who's as good as you? And Colin, God bless him with honesty. Stanzik knows he's not going to be lying. He goes, there's not many. Like, it's a short list. Or it's just list. But even, like, you would think Colin's arrogant, but I think he's just honest. And I do think he's great at his job. All three of us would agree. But then Colin followed up by saying, you know who I listen to on the way home? Mad Dog Russo. Russo's like, really? Still? He's like, oh, yeah. Russo gets a lot of calls, a lot of baseball. He's like, yeah. But Colin goes, he's great at his job, man. He is outstanding still.
He's great. Because sometimes you just need some old stuff. Now, listen, I find myself laughing at him at times because I can't believe I worshipped that guy growing up as a kid. Yeah, he's a complete clown.
Well, he's one of these guys who's, like, constantly underestimating you. Like, I'm at City Field the other day, and we start talking baseball. He's like, oh, let's talk about movies here. Like, yeah, you like all these new movies, Parasite, all this, Irishman, okay, great. Like, but do you know anything about old movies? I'm like, I took umbrage immediately. I'm like, are you calling up my movie knowledge? I'm like, yes. I just watched North by Northwest. He's like, oh, okay, I've got Cary Grant. Okay, what, can you talk about Cary Grant? What do you know about Cary Grant? You know, Spencer Tracy? And I go, not really my guys. I'm more of a Bogart Cagney guy, but the guy I love is Robert Mitchum. I think he's an incredible actor, all-time classic. Russo goes, oh, bitch, oh my God, Lee Stryker wrote this book. It's so good. It's about his life. And I go, actually, the name is Lee Server. I have the book.
Yeah, that's Mad Dog. Mad Dog has to get it wrong, and then you have to correct him. That's
did you know he's from Bridgeport, Connecticut? Well, I just told you I read the book, and I told you the author's real name, so yes. And I don't think Bridgeport, Connecticut's the important part of the book. More about what he contributed to. Okay, very good. The movie's on, then. Very good. I didn't know you knew that. Robert Mitchum, very good. Good stuff. Okay, my friend.
Not listening to a word you said, by the way. He is not listening to a single word anyone is saying to him at this point.
Oh, yeah, look at the World Series this year. I can literally say, I'm going to go Braves Twins. He goes, okay, good stuff. Yankees, Dodgers, it is. Good to talk to you.
I think he's a little slap of the fanny. I mean, he still does that. It's unbelievable.
That's a great point. That's an excellent point. He's still a pat on the ass kind of guy. Like, how many people can get away with that now this day and age? You walk by the line, good stuff, buddy. Like, oh my God, what are we doing?
Stanzik, he did the podcast with us, and he kept saying, Stu's a tremendous job out of you, the Tony Palafax story, McEnroe, all the stuff we're talking about. That's the equivalent of him being in person, tapping you on the fanny. Like, he is giving you a good job here. You know? Yeah.
Take a guess. What ESPN personality, only one in my tenure there, that ever patted me on the ass, and I think it was a bit of a squeeze.
Ooh,
ESPN personality. I'll give you the sport, college football. I don't know him very well. Maybe met him a couple of times, and I'm like, what the? What just happened? He's like,
Lee Corso did that to you?
No. While wearing the mascot, the Tiger.
Chris Fowler.
Fowler? No.
Fowler, good guess. And you're like, oh my God, where'd that come
from? Yeah.
Wait, so a college football guy.
Football guy.
Still at ESPN.
Yeah, we're at the college football. We're grabbing some food. I'm standing there. I just feel a squeeze in my butt. What the? I'm hoping it's Laura Rutledge. No, okay, not her. It's somebody else.
Under the bus.
Yeah, exactly. A male, long-established college
Trevor football guy.
I mean.
Would have been awesome. I would have high-fived Trev.
Oh, Maddox. Reese Davis?
No, Reese, a good guess. Here's the big guess. Prominent reporter.
College football reporter.
And it's a male. Feinbaum?
No, he also does golf. He does tennis.
Golf and he does tennis. Why are we
– He's known for
– Rinaldi.
Yeah, for Tom Rinaldi.
Rinaldi patted you on the ass?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Patted slash grabbed
him. That's perfect.
Like, I've met this guy like twice in my life. And he's like, hey, I'm like, oh my God.
Did you get emotional?
Yeah. And I said, please tell me how you made that feel. Wait. And he was like, well, when I squeezed your buttocks.
I never washed my ass again if he did that to me.
The thing I love about him is he's always deliberate when he speaks. Yes. Right? Like, I'm always talking fast. I have to tell myself, you're talking too fast and you're honest. Tom will literally go, so what did you think of No Country for Old Men? And I'll say, the light's not on. Like, you can just talk normal. It's okay. I'm not going to tell anybody you don't have proper diction when the light is not on.
8-second pause.
Right.
What'd you have, love?
By the way, we can discuss this now. My brother-in-law, who doesn't know anything about sports or TV, said, you know, why won't MLB Network or DAZN build you a studio? I'm like, what? Like, first of all, TV studios, like, there's something important to going there. There's a certain look presentation. More than that, and Seinfeld said it best, with all this Zoom going on, he goes, I'm tired of seeing people's houses. I'm tired of their bookcases. I'm tired of their kids. Let's just go back to the studio. I was like, nobody. Jimmy Fallon every night with the kid. I got one time, fine. After that, like, no, play it out.
Right. Yeah, right? If we get used to it, man, because I think studio executives are starting to see we can pull this off in a cheaper way.
It was amazing when I went and saw your guys. The first thing you said to me, you go, it's pretty small, right? And I'm like, oh my God. Like, and I think that adds to the humor. I really do.
Let's be clear, we're talking about the studio, okay?
Letterman used to always say it's got to be cold for humor, and I think it to be a little bit uncomfortable, right? Because if you're comfortable, you just laying back, whatever. But like you and Dan are sandwiched in there, Billy and Chris and Allison and Roy and Mike. I'm like, oh my God, this is tight. But that time when I saw you guys, dude, it was one of the highlights of my life. I swear to God, I go down there because you literally matched my enthusiasm for seeing you. That never happens in life. Normally you meet somebody, like I see David Chase, the creator of The Sopranos, after watching Philip Seymour Hoffman, Death of a Salesman, and he looks like he just bit into a bad piece of fruit. Like I'm like, David Chase. He's like, oh, I'm like, oh, I love your work. He's like, mm-hmm. I go, what are you working on now? He's like, movie. I'm like, by the way, the movie sucked. It was a huge bomb. Now he's making a Sopranos prequel. What a surprise. You had one good thing you did. But when I saw Dan, again, didn't work. Me and Russell outside, Dan sees us, awkward, kind of like that. And I'm like, oh, God, he hates me. This is awful. And I'd see Chris, happy. Mike Ryan, happy. Yep. Roy, smile, which was rare. Right, right. But you and I were both at a
test. Yes.
Like, it was both like, yeah!
I was just as happy, if not happier, to see you than you were to see me and meet me. And then I saw Russillo, and it brought the whole thing down.
his general countenance is one of grim disposition. Just surly and pissed off. Like, why am I doing this?
But he happens to be very good at this. Because I want to get you out of here. Team Federer, which we have had so much fun with for so long, me and Mike Golic Jr. Your obsession with Roger Federer is both adorable and creepy at the same time, if that is possible. Hashtag Team Fed. So it is you, Andrew Brandt. I forget who else is part of hashtag Team Fed.
That was one of my favorite bits. When you started going through the names, like, who are Carolyn Cameron? Because you didn't go to Brandt first. You go, let me just see Steve Weissman. Yeah. I'm like, okay, yeah, for me, you spin guy, okay, got it, yeah. Who the hell's Carolyn Cameron? You're Googling on here, finding, like, okay, she's a reporter in Toronto, okay. Who is Sophie Coulius? Okay, yeah, TSN producer. And then you go, Andrew Brandt. It was like in Back to the Future finding plutonium. It was like, Andrew Brandt. Wait, is that the Andrew Brandt? Google, like, isn't he a phone writer? Like, how does that know him? How are you tweeting him? How is he Team Fed? But he will respond every single time to Team Fed. Like, he is as dire as it gets. And last week tweeted a picture of himself shirtless. And it's like, this is how you do it. Happy 60. And I'm like, wow. Much like Stanzik, lean, hairy, feeling himself, shirt off. Like, I was like, all right. Yeah, that takes a lot of confidence to tweet a picture of yourself at 60.
Shirtless. Oh, 100%. And he looked great, I bet, right? He
looked great. I was like, wow, I did not think. But like Stanzik, runner's body, lean, like clearly runs a lot. Couldn't lift any weight. You and I could kick his ass in like a fucking
I'm uncertain about that.
No, he's like, I weigh 137 pounds. I'm like, congratulations. Your body fat is miserably low, but like, have a piece of bread. Like, you couldn't handle yourself in a fight. You have to have a little girth to be able to handle yourself in a fight. You'll just run away from the action.
Hey, feel free to just stick your hand to a 3-pound bag of peanut M&Ms once in a while. I said peanut there. So are you sad here? Because it seems like, listen, you never know when Federer is going to be done here, but because of the pandemic and everything that's going on, we're burning through some months here, and eventually those months will become years. It's a weird thing that we're doing here. I told Santa the coronavirus is either going to bring us all together or it's going to end us. One of those two things. But Team Fed, are you getting worried here that you've seen the last of Roger Federer winning majors here? Or what?
All I cheer for is cancellation of everything when it comes to tennis, right? It's just less of a chance for Nadal or Djokovic to get closer to Fed. So today I saw the news, Australian Open was going to take place in November. Now, not till next year. I'm like, great, that will get Fed healthy. That will make him better. It's one of those things where I never understood this. People always want people to retire. Like, they're like, okay, that's it. He should just retire. I'm like, what do you mean? He was just in the Wimbledon final. He lost. Yeah, he's not going to be joking. He's just retiring. anybody who loves what they do should aspire to do that as long as they want to. And has Federer won his last major? Perhaps. Probably. I mean, every year it gets harder. But there are people who never thought he'd be as resurgent as he has been, right? There were people 5 years ago said Federer is done. So is he done now as far as winning majors? Probably. But he's like the top three player in the world. You tell me Nadal's body can't break down. You tell me Djokovic can't get upset. Like, that's one thing about tennis. If it went according to script, then Jimmy Connors would have 30 majors. Right. But that didn't go that way, right? Things happen. Yes. So as long as Fed's still in the game, it still works out to his benefit. Right. I just enjoy seeing greatness,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, 100%. Listen, I respect him and love him. I'm just not going to put together a bunch of friends and call ourselves Team Fed and take pictures of myself naked at the age of 60.
Well, here's why I think ESPN never wanted to put me in the tennis couch. Go, this guy is such a relentless cheerleader for Federer. Right. No one's going to take him seriously. He's talking to Nadal. He'll make snide comments and like derisive comments.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Also, Rafa wins. What a cakewalk. Good to see him tested today.
Hey, who?
Patrick McEnroe, what are your thoughts?
I am certain as a member of the captain, the leader of Team Fed, you have thought about this. Who would best play Roger? Who would you cast as Roger Federer in a movie?
I have.
Yeah.
Clive Owen, I think, would
that's
be great.
Right. Wow. That's awesome.
I think Clive Owen, every time I go, that guy could play Federer.
Right.
Suave, smooth, handsome, graceful.
Right.
Clive has a bit of a dark side, but I'm like, it's good.
He's a little old.
Who would you cast as Federer, Stanley?
I don't have a better option, but I mean, if we're telling the story of Federer, it's going to be Federer in his 20s and early 30s. So,
I don't know if Clive Owen can pull it off.
He's not a spring.
So Clive Owen would play him now, like where he is at.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. 20s and 30s. Stanzik makes a point.
So Stanzik's worried about early Federer, which is a totally fair point. But who would play some? So you would have to have other people play. Like, so who plays Nadal in that movie? Like, have you thought it through that much? Like, who has? Stanzik loves it. He is thinking about it right now.
I kind of like
Nadal, Andy Murray. I mean,
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I was just going to say that.
I think if his hair was longer, he could play Nadal. Right.
Stanzik has a game that he has to play for our birthday. You and I share a birthday,
which is amazing.
I know. So how old?
And your brother.
And my brother. Sandy, did you know my brother has the same birthday as me?
I think you told me this last year, and I forgot until Adnan just said. Yeah, so, that's crazy. You know, 4 years apart or something?
Four years to the day. Me and my brother maintain my parents had sex twice in their life, okay? Once when they conceived my brother 9 months before that, and then 3 years later, okay? They marked it down on the calendar. Patty, we got to do this again.
But I remember when I mentioned it on the show, I go, Stu, happy birthday and to your brother. That's what threw Mike Ryan. I go, wait, Stu, your brother? Wait, you have a brother? You have a brother who has the same birthday as you? That's what threw them off. They couldn't believe it. Like, how does that not come up in conversation?
So you're going to be, I'm going to be 48. You're going to be 42.
That's right. Jackie Robinson.
What I wouldn't give.
Oh, I like that. I do that.
What I wouldn't give to be 6 years younger, dude.
Don't you find now, like when you see, and I remember this. I remember when I was 24 and I was complaining to somebody. I said, God, I'm so ugly. I just wish I was better looking and all this stuff. And the guy said to me, no. He was like a 40-year-old guy over the hill. And he was like, no, when people see people in their 20s, they just see the skin and it just glows. And it's like, everyone's attractive in their 20s. And now it's true. I watched the news, these millennials, the Ozarks and COVID-19 parties. And I said, God, they're all attractive. Right. I mean, they're all crazy and stupid. I mean, God, when you're 24, you're glistening. Yes. You and I are just like, God.
You get to 48, though. Stanzik asked me what I wanted for my birthday. I said some testosterone. I mean, energy levels.
Well, I see 52% of men need erectile dysfunction. I'm like, wait, so we're over 50? I thought it was like 30. Maybe 12. I hope to get there at some point. I'll take the pillow.
You're doing those reads, huh?
Right. I see these reads. 52%. We had Eric Roberts on, Julia Roberts' brother in Cinefon. He goes, I'll do it, but I have to plug this erectile dysfunction thing. I go, listen, I wouldn't want you on unless you're plugging erectile dysfunction material.
Well, have you heard Hank Azaria's impression of young Eric Roberts?
It's the best.
No.
It is the
Adnan. Oh, boy.
Like Pope of Greenwich Village.
It's almost worth you trying to find some if you can. I don't know if you can that quickly. I know we got to get out of here.
I don't think I have enough time.
All right. The next time we have you on, and there's going to be a next time.
Of course.
Next week.
We are going. In fact, let's just get Hank on and have him do the fake Eric Roberts. It's the most random thing. Five people laugh every time we do it, but they laugh and they laugh hard. Okay?
But I've got to make this point about Hank Azaria, and you will agree with me for the five people listening. Hank Azaria is the most prepared guest I've ever seen.
Amazing.
He walked in the studio and he goes, hey, hi, Adnan. Nice to meet you. I'm Hank. And then literally pulled out a notepad. I go, what the? And he's just like an actor. He's like, okay, all set. And I'm like, what? And he had the notes there. And I'm like, oh my God, like he came prepared with jokes for each person. Yes. He goes, and he goes, man, Berg, you've got a boy name like this. Ron Russillo reminds you of this. Mike Gold, this. I go, you did homework prior to coming. There's no way you're watching all of this. Like, that is the most prepared guest I've ever. He was incredibly knocked out of the park.
He's a genius.
Like, that's a Hall of Fame guest.
He's a genius. All right, real quick, Costanza gives a game for his 4-hour birthday. By the way, worst birthday you ever had. Mine was a pinata party my parents threw for me. They forgot to get the candy. And so it's a bunch of kids waiting around for a pinata to bust open. And when it finally busts open, what comes out is ceramic tile. I mean.
I don't have anything that tops that. I think death. I remember when I was 10, like my dad's got home videos. I remember watching a video. And when I watch it now, like he likes to do it to be sentimental. Like I look at you and I go, God, I look like such a prick. I was 10 years old. I'm like complaining about stuff. I'm like, Mom, enough with the camera. Like, I'm like, what a dick. Playing Nintendo, arguing. Like, I hate watching. There's a good memory at the time. When I see it now, I go, what a jerk.
All right, we're going to get you out of here. Movies, Canada, baseball. I have one question for each, then Stanza, because again, best movie of 2020 so far is blank.
Well, listen, Stanzik loves The Way Back, so I have to at least mention it because Affleck I thought was terrific, playing in a role which I think you know he can deal with, which is alcoholism, getting a second chance in life, sports movie. I thought it was pretty good. But I would go of the very short list right now, Defy Blood, Spike Lee. It's messy. It's definitely all over the place at times, but powerful, timely, obviously, about you know these guys going back to Vietnam, trying to find this lost treasure, but also trying to you know deal with their past demons and such. Familiar terrain in some ways, but with Spike Lee, it's always visceral. It's always grabs you. And he takes some shots at Tricky Dick. He makes it relevant to today. I'll go with Defy Bloods on that.
All right. What are people in Canada saying about the U.S. response to the coronavirus pandemic?
Oh, my God. Listen, every day my feed is Americans complaining, yeah. Saying, wear a mask. What's wrong with you? And the Canadians, like, literally laughing. American. My buddy tweeted this thing the other day. He's a reporter in Toronto. And he goes, here's the CDC grade for Canada versus America and the rest of the world. 7 top doctors. And Canada gets B+, 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 A-, B+. The world C's, C-, America, F's down the line. And, like, it's getting 1,000 retweets. And I'm like, well, you guys don't need to thumb your nose in America. There are people dying. You're like, ah, take that. You guys beat us in everything else but hockey and COVID. There we've got you.
All right, better chance at the playoffs. Your Blue Jays or my Mets, both 2-2 as we're taping. And, listen, I'll throw a third thing in there. Better chance of happening. Blue Jays to the playoffs, Mets to the playoffs, or baseball season actually having an ending?
Yeah. I'm going to try to stay positive and say Mets playoffs. My son and I, Yusuf, my eldest, we love Pete Alonso. Baseball Writers Association of America dinner last year. I went for MLB Network. Pete Alonso, dude, still got, I'm going to get Pete Alonso, great guy, yeah. Like phenomenal. You know those nice guys, like, hey, nice to meet you. And he was like, hey, what's your name? Yusuf, okay? I'm like, yeah, I go, he struggles with the swing. I was like, let me show you a couple things. Like, dude, the guy went above and beyond. I'm like, you know, he's kind of slow. He struggles with velo. He's like, oh, I'm going to lift some weights. I'm like, he's 12. He's like, it's okay. Lift some weights, get bigger, we'll be good. So I love Alonso. I'm pro Mets because of him. I like McNeil. I love Stroman, obviously. Me and Dan love him as a former player. I'll go Let's Go Mets. I'll go talk to him.
All right. Listen, Blue Jays, they might become America's team, which I'm sorry about that.
The Buffalo Blue Jays.
Listen, I maintain if they had chosen Marlins Park, which would have been a terrible park to choose, okay? It would have been the first time we had professional baseball in Marlins Park, but it would have been a terrible park to choose. They would have outdrawn the Marlins. I'm not even joking.
By the way, what did you think about the bubble idea in Florida? Because everyone saw the spring training sites are there. I've been 3 months when they're
I got to be honest. I thought the bubble idea for the NBA was a terrible idea. But the NBA is light years ahead of Major League Baseball, only because of the state of Florida, Adnan, because it's surging so much, 10,000 cases plus per day. And I was in that area recently, and no one was wearing a mask. And I'm like, this is a disaster. It's like – no one even acknowledges that anything's going on up there, but the NBA, of course, has figured it out and done it correctly.
What's it like for you, though, living in a state where you realize you're surrounded by ignorance? Like, is it just, has it been something that happened for so many years you're immune
to? No,
that's
why I chose it. I fit in well.
Everyone here is so stupid. I got to lay my roots down here. This is great. I feel all so right. Comfortable.
See, listen, you can tell Gershon I'm a genius because all I did was I found a state where I could fit in very, very well, but just outwork everyone else because no one else is working down there.
Everyone else is lazy. Yeah, nobody does your role better than
I
you.
I appreciate it.
Right? Nobody else could do what you do. Think about that.
Seriously. I don't think so. I mean, I appreciate you saying that, and I would say the same. But, you know, Stanzik is dying to get out of here because he has another podcast to tape because he produces every podcast at the network.
Yeah, but, okay, let me ask Dan then. What's your second favorite podcast behind Stupati? Is it Sarah Spain?
Well, that's the taping at 11 o'clock in 5 minutes. She's actually talking to Mike Golic, so I'm crunched for time here.
Closing thoughts. Best of luck to the Golics. Hey, one of the all-time champions. Mike Golic, phenomenal guy, changed my career, not only at ESPN, but in America. I did the show. I remember I asked Stanzik, how do I get in the show? He's like, I don't know, man. Hopefully you'll get on. I fill in with Russell, Russell, blah, blah, blah. Eventually, they beat me a shot, and we do one show together. I'm petrified. He couldn't have been nicer, couldn't have been more amiable. We do a second show. At the end of the show, he turns around and goes, hey, listen, I'm going to the bosses tomorrow. I'm telling him you're the guy from now on. And I go, that changed my life. It was incredible. Like that, for a guy who's a superstar in a Hall of Fame, he never gave you that aura at all. And you, very cleverly, were trying to get in with the Golic family and were completely nefarious about it. You couldn't care less about him as a person. But you were trying to use that for political gain. And I think in many ways that worked for you as well.
Yes, I only cared about his son. I barely care about him. And I'm telling you, you were the best villain ever on Golic.
No, thanks,
on Mike and Mike. You were tremendous. All right, birthday game. Stanzik's going to get out of here. Go.
All right, here you go. You guys are both born on July 29th. Time to find out if you know who else is born on July 29th. Question one, this fascist dictator who has been portrayed on
Mussolini.
Wow, there you go.
Well, okay. it's who gets it first? That's it? Okay.
And Ann's going to win, obviously. But it was this fascist dictator who has been portrayed on screen by Charlie Chaplin and Antonio Banderas has the same first name as the first Marlin to Homer in franchise history.
Yeah, Mussolini.
Yeah, and I got it right.
Yeah.
Question two, this two-time Pro Bowler will make north of $31 million this year manning the reins for America's team.
Dak Prescott.
Oh, Dak Prescott.
Stugatz got in there first. Wow. Yeah,
very good.
This documentarian with the famous bad hair.
Seriously.
Baseball, jazz, and the National Park.
Terrible hair.
This Emmy award-winning reality show star made it work so well alongside Heidi Klum for 18 seasons that it led to two spinoffs.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. We're
outstumped.
No, wow. Reality.
Can I hear it again? Go ask it again.
Yeah.
This Emmy award-winning reality show star made it work so well alongside Heidi Klum for 18 seasons that it led to two spinoffs.
Wow. Stumped.
Tim Gunn.
Tim Gunn, yeah.
I'm still stumped. Okay. I don't even know who it is.
I still don't know who Tim Gunn is.
This billionaire owns an NFL team, an NBA team, Mark an Dupin. NHL team, and an English Premier League
Stan
team.
Stan Kroenke.
And his wife is the eighth richest woman in America. And Adnan's correct. It is Stan Kroenke.
Did I go Mark Cuban there? Jesus Christ.
He did. Kroenke married a Walton. This Canadian rocker has been in the limelight.
Geddy Lee.
Slapping the bass and belting
what
up vocals.
The 70. You just heard Canadian rocker. That's it. That's it, right?
That's Eddie Lee. Rocker. There's only
it
one.
It couldn't be Neil Peart. It couldn't be anyone else. It has to be Geddy Lee. Is Neil Peart even from Canada? He's the drummer of a Rush.
Yeah, Neil Peart. Him and Robbie Robertson. No, Robbie Robertson is not. Neil Peart is.
I'm sorry. Right. Warren Cromarty, the Crow. Very good friends. Best friends with Geddy Lee. Weird.
Oh, I love Crow.
This Canadian newscaster was the last of the big three to leave the anchor desk, dying from lung cancer in 2005.
Peter Jennings. Wow.
Adnan's not even giving you a chance.
I mean, yeah, it's predominantly Canada questions, Stanzik. I mean, what do you want me to do? I mean, Jesus Christ.
This sitcom star turns 46 on July 29th, and when he gets older, he'll sound like Bob Saget as he tells his children the story of how he met their mother.
Oh, what, Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, I should have known that.
No, it's the main character from that show.
Oh, crap.
Who you probably don't know his name. It's Josh Radnor.
He was the main character, really?
Yeah, he was Ted Mosby. I guess Ted is, and when he was an adult, he sounded like Bob Saget.
I'm with Adnan. I always viewed Neil Patrick Harris as the main. Well, I guess you can look at it your way, too. But Neil Patrick Harris, to me, was the star of that show.
Right.
I agree. He's the last ESPN analyst I'd want to get in the ring with because he did a stint at Rikers Island, knows the ins and outs of the sweet science, and could probably lift the world on his shoulders.
Eddie Atlas.
Adnan. Well done. All right, two more.
That's well written. By that's pretty good. Atlas shrugged.
Have I had one right? I mean,
you had one.
Who did I get?
You got a shot at this one, but Adnan's going to beat you. Oh, say can you see that in 1996, this U.S. Olympian took gold in the men's long jump and became only the third athlete to win the same event four times.
Able.
Stugout's got that. And I should clarify, Carl Lewis was not born on July 29th. July 29th, 1996 is when he won his fourth consecutive one.
Sanzik knows 80s U.S. Olympics is my wheelhouse. I mean, especially gymnastics. I mean, he does that.
You know? Kerry Strug. I'm just going to say Kerry Strug.
All right. And final question. An estimated 750 million people watched this event on July 29th, 1981.
Olympic Games.
Commonwealth.
1981, July 29th. Space shuttle. I don't know.
Yeah, Iran-Contra affair, Reagan. No, there's nothing. What's that era?
81. Oh, Lake Placid hockey.
Nope.
No, that's 80.
Yep, damn it.
No guesses, huh?
Yeah, you had to show off with that's 80, you jackass, huh?
Just for clarification.
The correct answer is the marriage of Prince Charles and Princess Diana.
Wow.
Brutal.
Wow.
Brutal.
Yeah, it's brutal.
That's
brutal.
What was the total? What was the total number? Stu had two.
And you had the rest.
You had the rest.
And two questions you didn't get. So there was 11 of them. You had seven. You really want the score?
I want the actual score. Yeah, that's the competitive part of me. Like, I just want to be able to
bring people seven, up. You got two.
All right, Adnan, this was delightful. We have to do it more often. We do miss you dearly. You know that. Really. Our show and our audience misses you.
Thanks. I miss you guys too.
Two podcasts, Cinephiles, movie podcast, the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi. Also check him out on the Zone. Old friend, good friend, and we'll do it again soon. Adnan Burke with us here on Stupati. We appreciate it, man. We miss you dearly.
Miss you too. So guys, you're the best. Good stuff.
Stupati!